Welcome to the Tim DeMoss Show podcast. You can hear the program each weekday afternoon from 4 till 5 on AM 560 WFIL and WFIL.com.
AM 560 WFIL.com and on the app, you're listening to the Tim DeMoss Show. Thank you for tuning in. Good deal of clouds today, although we had a little sunshine come through. That was nice. Shower still possible. High 53 today, down to 38 this evening. Still on the cloudy side tomorrow at times, maybe some sun once in a while. Another shower is possible too, and a high of 50. Phil's lost 4-1 to Cincinnati last night. It was supposed to be a 1:05 start, got delayed to 4:05 because of the forecast. Eventually they got going. I'm not even sure what time it was, but they wound up losing 4-1. Zach Wheeler, though, had a good start. They just couldn't hold things in the end. Phillies manager Rob Thompson on Zach Wheeler's performance.
He pitched. You know, he used his secondary pitches. A lot of the sweepers that they were showing, they were actually splits. But I thought his command was really good. His velocity was down, so he mixed in a lot more off-speed pitches than he pitched.
Phillies manager Rob Thompson also talked about the somewhat sluggish offense thus far, only one run last night.
We're a better offensive club than we're showing, obviously, but it'll come. I have all the confidence in the world in them, but off to a little bit of a slow start. Tough hitting tonight, tough conditions, but no excuses. They had to go through the same thing.
Phillies manager Rob Thompson, sound courtesy of MLB.com. Flyers are off till tomorrow when they'll be taking on Buffalo. Head coach John Tortorella on how the road environments in the NHL can be hostile, but not necessarily quite as bad as they used to be.
The league itself, it's not as hostile as it used to be when you go into away buildings. I think it's a perfect time for us to go because then we're all together. Get there today, there's going to be the players will have a little get together before they have their dinner. They go out for dinner. I just think it, as much as family is so important, the most important thing in your life, I think when you get away from your family, on your road, your team, you're with your team. I think it's a really good time for, I think we have four of them here, for us to be together and try to work through some stuff to see if we can get to the finish line here as far as trying to get in.
Flyers head coach John Tortorella, sound courtesy of NHL.com. That's tomorrow night as far as their next game. Sixers in action tonight. They'll be taking on Miami on the road at 7:30. We have our partnership with Save the Children wrapping up. And just mention that we, by God's grace and for his glory, the goal was met. Had a call from Donna yesterday who said, hey, I'd heard about it. Is it still possible? And I'm just throwing this out there because every time, just about, we work with the ministry, there's at least one, if not two, three, four, five people who say, I'd meant to, so although we don't talk about it on the air and make it a thing or have it on our website, we have the info. And technically, as things are wrapping up, they can still sneak in. So if that is you, just like we had this great chat yesterday with Donna, feel free to call the number 888-884-4836. It still works, 888-884-4836. If you like online, just send me an email. I can send you the link. It's not on our site anymore, but my email for that or for anything else, Timmy D, T-I-M-M-Y-D, at WFIL.com. And it was nice that Donna said, even though she said, did you guys hit the goal? I said, yeah, I think we have here. The dust is settling, but I think we're good. She still said, well, I can still do it, right? I'm like, yeah, of course. The need is still there. It's not like we just stop right at the line. If that's as far as we go, we can keep going past it. So anyway, it was great to talk with her and see the spirit in which she wanted to be involved, not just to help hit the goal, but just to give. So that was a great thing. Last time, 888-884-4836. If you want to help or email me, Timmy D, T-I-M-M-Y-D, at WFIL.com, and I can send you the link for Save the Children. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're looking forward to having a special in-studio guest, Joey Perez. He's an evangelist, international speaker, author, also founder and pastor of Worldwide Evangelistic Ministries Incorporated and Church. And among other things, there's a big seminar coming up on spiritual warfare next week, April 10th through the 12th at Franconia Mennonite Church in Harleysville Pike, 613 Harleysville Pike in Telford. And you can find out more at joeyperezministries.org. We'll talk to them about that, but there's certainly a lot of testimony behind that. He's got quite a story. So Joey Perez joining us in just a moment. Tim DeMoss Show, looking forward to that very much. In fact, you can also right here find out more about that next week, the big conference happening, the information here right for you on WFIL. You're listening to the Tim DeMoss Show. Thanks for tuning in.
Have a guest you'd like to hear on the Tim DeMoss Show on AM 560 WFIL? Email Timmy D at WFIL.com.
It's 4:09 of the Tim DeMoss Show. Thank you for tuning in. Let's see here. We have a special guest I was mentioning right before the break, and we're glad to bring him on board in studio. for a couple of reasons. One, next week, to talk about this seminar on spiritual warfare happening at Franconia Mennonite Church in Telford. Again, joeyperezministries.org for info on that. But quite a testimony. He's an evangelist, an international speaker, an author, and founder and pastor of Worldwide Evangelistic Ministries Incorporated and Church. And so we are really glad to have you on board. Hello, sir.
How you doing? I'm excited to be here.
Yeah.
Long time.
Tell me, because when you were in the lobby, we were coming up the steps, you had mentioned having a program on WFIL years ago or 990. What was
I was just here in an interview. I think once or twice I came. But I'm talking about many years.
Yeah. Well, we're glad you're back.
And
with good reason. I mean, for a number of reasons.
Right.
There's an event coming up April 10th through the 12th at Franconia Mennonite Church in Telford. Folks can find out more about that at joeyperezministries.org. Before we get to that, and just as a backdrop, I would love for you to take some time, as much time as you like, to share some of your testimony. Some folks may be familiar with it through your book, which I have an abbreviated version of here, I Live to Tell About It, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so sure, take it just, you know, you're growing up and quite an upbringing in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Well, how God works is something. You know, I come from a family of 10, five boys, five girls.
Okay.
One of my younger sister, one of my older sister was a drug dealer in Philadelphia. My younger sister in 83, when after I was already saved like 4 years, she was caught with drugs. She was labeled a Philadelphia cocaine queen. She was in all the news in Philadelphia. So when I was 12, you know, my father was looking to chastise me, and I went and I ran away from home. But I already had left my house at 10, too. I left at 10, 11. And at that age, at 10 years old, I was already going in and out of juvenile homes at the age of 10. So what happened was that recently on my way to Virginia, I was driving and I'm praying. You know, I pray a lot. When I finish praying, I break out and start crying because I see myself before. You know, I'm asking God, I say, you know, there's a lot of things going on I'm not understanding right now. But from that day, at the age of 12, when I was crying, he showed me that, like just showed it in memory, that when I was 12, that he heard me. Because from that age, 12, in Philadelphia, I walked in the supermarket, stuck the supermarket up. I stuck a knife in the cashier. Now, if I would have known that the police station was only four blocks away from it, I would have never stuck that place up. I ended up getting caught anyway.
Yeah.
And that was all in the newspaper and everything. I mean, when I tell you newspapers, it was in back then, you only had channel 3, 6, 10, 29, and
right.
57. That was it. I was on all of them. And when I was in a juvenile home, they labeled me Richie Rich because out of the four of us, I was the only one that I stole all the money. It was $3,800. And when the guy was chasing us, people yelled out, "Watch out, how about they got a gun?" So he never stopped chasing us. And anyway, we ended up getting caught. When I was in that juvenile home, you know, I became very popular because,
sure.
You know, they labeled me Richie Rich because being the youngest out of the other three, one 14, the other two 16, they called me Richie Rich. So all the guys in there now, you know, I was already in there three or four times. We were known as the Perez brother. My brother Mikey, him and I, we always got locked up together. Whenever we got caught together.
Wow.
When that happened, you know, God showed me that's why, okay, because, you know, being a gang, in gangs and everything, I was kicked out of the United States at the age of 13. I was kicked out of the United States because I broke in a police officer's house, almost killed his father. You know, I wanted to steal his guns. I was back then I had just turned 13. So my sentence was, my mom was able to get the judge to get rid, you know, she said, "I'll get rid of him. Please don't, you'll send social workers." We have social workers coming to our house for my two older brother and me. And my mom said they haven't been able to help. When my mom was telling the judge all of this, the judge said, he said, "Listen, the social workers, I got all their reports and everything. They said every time they go to your house, when they go in there, when they come home, the money's ripped, they've been taken out of their pocket." Well, every time I told my brother Mikey, when they come in, when you talk to you, I'm going to take the money out of their pocket.
Oh, wow.
So what happened was, he said, not only that, the social workers, all three of them said every time they go in your house, it's like a creepy feeling in your house and all of this stuff. My father was a prophet of curse. Now, let me explain that.
Sure.
My father was he had 20 gods. When you open the doors to witchcraft, listen, when them demons get in there, they're going to go for your children because they're more vulnerable and not as strong as maybe an adult was.
Yeah.
So what happened was my father used to put curses on people. And when he put curses, and I know some of them, you know, that he put on people and it happened. And I'm not going to explain that here.
Yeah.
So I come from a family of a prophet of curse. So by the time I was 15, I'm sentenced to a government program to do a 2 years there in Indiana, and then come back to Philadelphia and do one more year in a duck prison. By then, I'll be 18. By the time I was 15, I was in there for a couple of attempted murder, attempted homicide, stuff like that, you know, shooting, stabbing people, gang warning and everything. So when I was doing time in this government program, I started a riot in the midst of 2,300 young men. Now, in that government program, Philadelphia was one of the most problematical city that was there. Chicago was the other problematic. So we used to fight a lot. I started riot. 40 young men were injured, 6 security guards were wounded, and I'm facing 10 to 20 on top of a 3 to 5 already in the federal pen. But the kid that they had, the guy that was a state evidence, that's the only, because they didn't know if I really did it.
Yeah.
So I sent people to tell him, don't come tomorrow, because I know where he live in Washington. I'm going to send people from Philadelphia to Washington. And guess what? He never showed up, so they sent me back home to go before the judge and go to prisons in Philadelphia. So when I came back to Philadelphia, I started a new gang. Now we're about 250 young people, and I'm already 18 years old. Next thing you know, we're gang war. They busted my head up. You probably see some scars on top of my head. And they killed my brother in front of me. I was 18. He was 19. He the only one of out of 10 boys, 5 boys and 5 girls in my family, and brothers and sisters, he was the only one of all the boys that ever finished high school. 6 months later, he was dead.
Wow.
He was right in front of me. I saw when he killed him. I was all busted up. They were coming for me. They tried to finish me off. But then my gang came in, and then the police pulled up, and everybody spread it out. When that happened, I ended up in a mental hospital, in Emeryville State Hospital. I got into a big problem in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, trying to rob a gun store to try to find the guys that killed my brother. And almost killed the owner by accident. You know, not accident, because he was trying to grab me. I kind of threw him right through the window, and a whole bunch of police were waiting outside for me. I was 18 years old. So from there, I heard a voice. I heard that voice when I was 15 years old. It said, tell me, if there's a God in heaven, he'll never forgive you. God don't forgive people like you. Now, remember, I come from a family of witchcraft.
Yeah.
When I was 12 years old, I made a pact with the devil already. I told the devil, you give me the power to kill my father, I'll do whatever you want. So now 15, now I'm 18. And I heard, when I got locked up in Phoenixville, all of a sudden, I heard voices again in my mind that used to say, if there's a God in heaven, he'll never forgive you. So guess what? I tried to commit suicide.
Hmm.
So when I was in that prison, I tried to commit suicide. I'm in a police station. All of a sudden, when I wake up 2 days later, I'm in Emeryville State Hospital in Chester. Next thing I know, being there for about 8 days, after they did all the tests, and they had all these psychiatrists, social workers, they sent me to Chester County Farm Prison, which is in West Chester. I'm thinking about all the time I'm going to be doing, because they kept saying you're going to do a lot of time in jail and all this stuff. I did a lot of violent crimes, you know?
Yeah.
And next thing you know, I was in my cell. Now, this is an experience that I'm going to tell you. I was laying in my bed, and I said, you know, if I go to jail, I'll probably be getting out of here when I'm 18 now, right? 38, 48, maybe 58. I don't know what the different sentences they're telling me.
Right.
So all of a sudden, I'm laying down. I want to cry, but I would never cry, because my father said a man cries not a man at all. The more you keep this pain inside and all these anger and all this stuff, all it does is makes you more evil.
Sure.
And it gives you energy and strength to commit violent crimes. So what happened was, when I was laying down, a guard came to my cell. He said, Jose. Now, my name is Joey, because nobody in my family ever called me Jose. Not my mom, my dad. So my name is Jose. So what happened is, he said, Jose. I got up and I walked over and I asked him a question. I said, yo, what did you just call me? He said, Jose, is that your name? I said, yeah, but you must be new here. This guy had white hair. Whole face had a glow on him. I said, you're new here, right? He said, yeah. Yeah, because you don't have a name tag yet. And I know all the guards have to have their name tag. You don't have one on your shirt. He said, I know everything about you. And I said, so what, you was going through my records and everything? He said, no, I know everything about you. He said, you're going to court. It was on a Monday. He said, you're going to court on Thursday, right? I said, yeah. When you go, they're going to drop 15 of your major charges. The other three, they're going to give you time served. Just remember this. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood to clean you of your sins. And all of a sudden, I started cursing him. I don't believe in God and Jesus, the devil, and get away. I want to hell, all this stuff. So when he said that, he just walked away. He said, just remember, Jesus loves you. And he walked away. I went to court. They dropped 15 of my major charges. The other three gave me time served. I had to pay a fine, and I'm getting out of jail. When I get back to the prison, when I get there, I said, Mr. Bell, Mr. Brown, the guards. And I said, where's this new guard that just started working here? They looked at each other, and I said, why are y'all looking at each other? He said, what did you just say? Who are they? A new guard. Y'all had a new guard that came to my cell on Monday, told me some things that were going to happen to me in court today. They said, what was his name? He ain't had no name. They said, but you know in this prison, all guards have their name. But he said he just started working here about a week ago.
Right.
So then all of a sudden, I said, when I said that, they looked at each other. Why y'all keep looking at each other? They said, we haven't hired a new guard in 4.5 years. So what are you saying? There was a guard came to my cell. Look, I don't care what y'all say. I'm leaving anyway. I'm waiting for y'all to get my dismissal papers and get out of here.
Yeah.
Well, I went home that same day. I got out about 4 days later. The same night, I almost get killed in a discotheque. 17 guys surrounded me from my gang. We were gang war, my gang.
Yeah.
I had just drunk a little bit of liquor and two beers and stuff. So my system being clean for not doing no drugs and nothing, all of a sudden I was a little buzzed up. And when all of a sudden this gang surrounded me and they said, yo, you the leader of this gang? And I said, yeah. He said, what's wrong? I said, where you from? They told me that you from 21st and Norris, a gang called 21st and Norris. They said, no, we're from 15th and Venango. That was our enemy.
Okay.
When the guy said 15th and Venango, the gang, I said, I backed off, right? So all of a sudden, I see these two guys, they got guns. These guys, they got knives, and some of them breaking bottles and everything. So I can't go this way because there's a wall. I'm surrounded, guys on my right, my left, in front of me. And all of a sudden, I hear that voice again. If you're going to die, take one or two of these guys with you. So I hit the lead on his nose, and he hit the floor. When he hit the floor, all of a sudden, man, all these other guys, it was like a spirit of confusion. I know why. Because God was with me. Yet I was a sinner. He showed me that 12-year-old, that he heard that cry from back then. And next thing you know, when I hit them, I grabbed one of the guys, threw him on top of seven of them, about five or six, and they all fell on the floor. When the other two guys finally got the guns ready and they're aiming, the leader got up, nose busted. He said, let them go. Don't touch them. And all of a sudden, when he said, let them go, don't touch them, he said, listen, I ain't never see a Puerto Rican as crazy as you. You got my respect. Let them go. He said, get out of here. I walked up in his face. I said, look, they just killed my brother a few months back. I'm ready to die. I'm not scared of dying. So he said, listen, man, you really crazy. You need to get out of here. I left.
Evangelist Joey Perez with Worldwide Evangelistic Ministries on the Tim DeMoss Show today. We'll be hosting a seminar on spiritual warfare at Franconia Mennonite Church in Telford next week, the 10th through the 12th of April. On the 10th, saints must be in prayer. On the 11th, who is your adversary? On the 12th, saints have power and authority. Hearing some of Joey's story, we'll get to more of that here in just a moment on the Tim DeMoss Show on WFIL.
Live and local, it's the Tim DeMoss Show, weekday afternoons 4 till 5 on AM 560 WFIL and at WFIL.com. Our podcast continues.
It's 4:25 on the Tim DeMoss Show on WFIL in Philadelphia. If you just tune in, we have in studio Joey Perez, an evangelist, international speaker, author, and founder and pastor of Worldwide Evangelistic Ministries Incorporated and Church. Next week, there's a big seminar happening April 10th through the 12th at Franconia Mennonite Church in Telford, Pennsylvania. You can find out more at joeyperezministries.org. So when did things start to turn? Because I was reading through your site a little bit too, and your time at Cardone. I actually went to school with one of the daughters one of the Cardones back way years ago. I'm 55 now, and she's 1 year older than I am. So, and I know we've heard a lot of good things about the work they've done, and I found it interesting that you spent time working there. Similarly, while you still weren't a believer, but over time that environment certainly helped you.
The problem was. Okay, now I'm out. My sister came up to me and told me, Joey, my older sister, she said, listen, lead the gangs, man, and come out and sell drugs, you know, help me sell, you know, take care of my drug business. She'll make a lot of money. So I said, you know what? So I went to the second leader of my gang, and I told him, his name was Richie. They used to call him Hook. They said, Richie, take over the gang now. And I said, what I'll do is I'm going to help my sister Evelyn. I'm going to take over, you know, help with some of her business, probably take over some of it too. Give me some of the guys, and I put them to work for me. And we'll take care of your families. So all of a sudden, that's where we went on from that route. My sister, some guys came and stuck up my sister, her workers in her house. So she became investigated. when she was investigated, you know, we went out there looking to try to kill the three guys. Now, I caught one, almost killed Tim. The other one, he went and got himself locked up because they were going to kill him. So the third guy, I found Tim. I snatched, he had five other guys in the car. I snatched him out of the car, put a gun through his head, ready to blow him away. And all I hear was sirens and everything, the gun jammed. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I want everyone to listen to this.
Yeah.
You know why I couldn't kill that guy? I found out after I got saved, his mother and father were pastors. His name was Moses, and his mother and father were pastors. You know why? You know what Richie Santiago was? His father was a pastor, too. So when I got saved, I found out that some of these guys that were in my gang were from Christian families. So what were they missing?
Yeah.
That they couldn't find it in the church, that they wanted to be a part of this. And I used to tell them, when I found out, I said, man, I was trying to get out of it, and y'all was running into it. So the thing is,
yeah,
what happened was, my parole officer called me, a probation officer, he called me up and told me, you know, I'm wearing tailor-made suits. I got brand new tailor-made shirts and pants, everything, you know. So when I wanted there, you know, expensive watches and rings. So what happened was, he said, listen, I see every time you come to see me, you always come real nice and dressed. Are you working? And I lied. You know, I told him, yeah, man, I'm. You know, I do repair houses, you know, handyman stuff. That was all a lie. So he said, I don't want to hear that stuff. He said, I want to see pay stubs. And when he said he wanted to see pay stubs, that's where the part came in with the Cardone. Now, it wasn't Cardone. Now, I know all of them.
Yeah.
I knew Mike Cardone, but I worked for the brothers. Which were Cardo's Automobile Production on Ray Line Road and the Boulevard in Northeast Philly.
Yeah.
So I worked for them. Now, what
to
happened
to get the pay stub
was,
so you could show your probation officer you had to cover.
Yeah, that's what happened. Because one of my guys, when he found out, he said, something wrong with you. You ain't been talking. I said, no, man, my PO's trying to put PO, you know, probation officer wanted to put me up 5 years, man. So if I go up, all this drug business is going to fall and go down the drain.
Right.
So the guy said, but listen, your sisters, ain't her and her husband collecting your drug money. So why are you in? You got two bodies. God's collecting it too. So use a job. There's a job where I work. They're hiring people. And in that job, you know, use it as an escape. Maybe 5 months, 6 months, because your sister and your guys, they'll collect your money, and when you come out, you make sure everything's going the way it is. Man, I said, what a good idea. Why didn't think of that? But it was God.
And who told you that? Who said? Who?
One of my drug clients. It was two of my drug dealers and two of my drug clients that were there. They used to always be on the corner with us anyway. And so they saw that I was looking different. I was worrying about, you know, man, if I don't know what I'm going to do with this, you know, where I'm at in this, man.
Sure.
But anyway, I go to that job, Cardo's Automobile Production.
Did you know what you were doing and what the job was that you could actually do the job?
Yeah, he told me it was about motor parts and everything, remanufacturing motor parts and rebuilding them.
And you felt like, oh, I could at least do that or I'll learn it?
I had no choice. I had to take it.
Okay.
So I went there, and the personnel manager, I found out down the line, he was from Calvary Assembly of God on Winco, you know, after I got saved.
Yeah.
But his name was Carmeline. So he was in there, and when they fill out the application, he said, you ever commit a crime? Man, I put everything I did. I even put, you know why? Because I was kept looking.
You have another piece of paper?
No, I thought he, I turned the paper. He even put everything on the front, too.
Right.
So what happened was Carmeline looked at him. I kept hearing him saying, whoa, man. And he said, you got an interesting story. He said, listen, you can start tomorrow. I said, hold up, man. Why are you going to give me a job with people like you don't hire people like me? He said, look, I know you was in a government program. You took up a trade in cooking, and you took up a trade in body and fender, and you graduated from both of them. He said, let me ask you something. I don't need a cook, but I can sure enough you's a guy who know how to paint. So that's when they hired me to work in the water pump department.
Okay.
But after being there 3 weeks, I found guys in the company there, about 1,500, 2,000 employees. In the parking lot, every time I went out for lunch, I see guys doing drugs, and I connected with an Italian, a Polish guy, and an Irish guy, and we became friends, Bill and Bob. And next thing you know, I told him, I'll connect y'all with all the Hispanics and African Americans, and y'all connect me with the Polish and the Irish. So we're making tons of money now. I'm working in a place
while
making more money
there
in the street than I'm making in the street.
Wow.
So what happened was, that after being there for about 2 months, they shipped me to the warehouse. I didn't want to go. But if I didn't go, they're going to lay me off, and I couldn't go in front of my PO with that story.
Right.
So what happened was, when I go to the warehouse, It was 24 guys. Me, I'm walking, it's 25. When I walked in, I saw a guy standing. He looked like, I tell everybody, he looked like Incredible Hulk, real stocky, husky guy. When I walked there, I said, you the boss here? He said, yeah. I threw the papers at him. What you want me to do? He looked at me. He said, come here. Took me in the back. He showed me, for 45 minutes, he showed me what I was supposed to do. So when he showed me, he left. 45 minutes later, he came back.
Okay.
I'm already frustrated, cursing and everything, because I'm not grasping what he's told me to do, so he's going to have to show me again. And when he got there, he said, Joe, how you doing? I said, not too good, man. I'm not feeling good. So what you want? He said, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah, what's the question? He said, do you know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin? I said, oh, man, I heard that when I was in jail. I said, you ain't no angel or nothing. He said, no, I'm a Christian. I asked him, I said, you're not a religious person. He said, no, I'm a Christian. Then he said to me, do you know that Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for you and shed his blood to clean you of your sins? And I said, look, I don't want to hear this about Jesus. I don't believe in that. I said, why are you asking me all this stuff? He said, because you know that the four owners of these companies are four Italian brothers, and they're Christians. They got a big chapel in that plantation for about 400 people. I said, you mean to tell me all that noise I'll be hearing every morning over there? It was because everybody was going to church? He said, yeah. And they were praying for all the employees. They were praying for you. So he said, see that little room down there, that door? There's a room in there. We go in there, we pray for everybody here. It's okay to pray for you. I said, yeah, because the first one of y'all that try to preach the Jesus stuff to me, I'm going to crucify him. He's going to be shedding blood.
Wow.
So he looked at me. He said, Jesus, I love you. See, the next day, for about a month and a half, he kept bringing me a coffee, a donut, a track, and a piece of paper. Say, Jesus, I love you. I kept throwing it in the track. So I told Bill and Bob, I said, these guys here, you got to be careful. They're Christian. And I think they got a mission to get us saved. So I said, I'm on a mission to kill a couple of them. So I tried to kill one guy by throwing a skid full of calipers, four drums of calipers that weigh 1,000 pounds. When I tried to throw it on John Galashaw, it backfired, almost killed me. Then I told him.
You were just so frustrated with the whole thing.
Like, I'm getting really frustrated.
Right. And yet they didn't stop.
Yeah. There was a little old man. His name is Lope. Every time he came, he was all happy, all excited. Oh, man, that agitated me. I'm over here miserable, and this guy happy. Every now and then, he still tried to witness to me. One day, I told Bill, give me his rifle. I'm going to kill Kazi. I'm going to follow him on I-95. And when I follow him on I-95, I'm going to do a drive-by. My car, brand new car, didn't work. Didn't start up. So I said, when building them the next day, they said, yo, what happened? I said, look, I don't know, man. I think they must be a guy for real. He said, I think he's protecting these guys, man. So anyway, from there, one day I went in there. Kazi was at the door. And he said to me, he said, Joe, come here. So I walked. I said, man, you know I hate you, man. You know, I already know what to do, okay? So what do you want to talk to me about? He said, I just want to tell you something. You have a lot of darkness in you. I see it in your eyes when you walk in. You look real far lost. And I said, so what? He said, but Jesus is the solution, is what I'm trying to tell you. So I said, I don't want to hear that. I started cursing and everything. So he said, let me show you something. He took off his shirt. When he took off his shirt, I thought he went to fight, right? No, he was taking off his shirt, so I took off my shirt to fight. So I'm jumping around, you know, doing all that jitterbug stuff, like, yeah, you know, ready to fight. When he took off his shirt, and I saw how big and stocky he was, I said, hold on, I'll be back. Ran outside my car, got me a little 25 automatic, came outside the bell. I said, you might be big, I'm going to hit you with this. When I said, what are you doing? Put that away. I want to show you something. Took off his T-shirt. He had a bullet hole here, one here, one here.
Like
one here
all
and
over.
One up here. These two went out the back. So and the knife wounds. I said, man, where you been, in Vietnam? He said, no. He said, I was baptized in La Costa Nostra. I was from the Gambino family, Carlo Gambino. He said, me and my brother were ones that did jobs for the mob. I'm going to just leave it like that.
Yeah.
They did job for the mob. And I already knew what he was talking about. So I said, so what are you telling me all of this for? He said, but 5 years ago, my wife got saved. And for 1 year, she was praying to God to save me. When the mob called me and my brother to go and do this job, okay, when we got to the clubhouse in South Philly, when we walked in, my brother went in first, and all the guys are, you know, greeting him, hugging him, kissing, you know, Italians kiss each other. And he said, when he walked in, he didn't make it all the way in. His knees started giving away, and he fell on the floor on his knees and started screaming. He thought he was having a heart attack. And it was, he was saying that God, that all of a sudden he knew it was God, and he started crying out to God, oh, Lord, don't let me die, and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, he said, something lift up off of him. And from that day forward, he was saved now 4 years. He said, God is calling you, Joe. I get out of here. I go to work.
And this is, just to clarify for those tuning in, Din DeMoss Show, WFIL Philadelphia, evangelist Joey Perez, our guest today. And there's an event coming up April 10th to the 12th. We'll talk about in a minute. But that person who was speaking into your life, I was at Cardone.
Cardone's Automobile Production.
Okay. And he, what was his name again?
Kazi.
Okay. Keep going. Yeah.
So what happened was, when I went, Kazi, before I walked away from yelling that, cursing that, I don't want to hear that Jesus stuff. And when I got to my work area, when I was walking away, Kazi said, Joe, that's fine. You don't listen, but I already planted a seed in your heart. Nah, you don't know what you're talking about. When I was over there working, all of a sudden, I'm thinking, right? I said, man, something about those Christians, man. There's something. Every time they talk to me, man, I feel like chills and everything. So they got to probably be something good. All of a sudden, I hear a voice say to me, Joey, you want peace? Kill yourself. Take a lot of people with you. And I said, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. All of a sudden, I started making a list. I had 17 people on that list. Now, I was offered $40,000 just to kill 4 people on the contract killing. But I wasn't no contract killer. So, but I figured I'd go ahead and do it this time. I'm going to go, when I'm done here, I'm going to go to the police station. I'm going to shoot it out with them, and they let them kill me, and that's it, because I ain't going to go to jail. When I was thinking that, all of a sudden, I started crying. And as I was crying, I started crying. Why? Why do I always think of shooting people? Why do I always want to hurt people? Why I talk to my girlfriend so bad? When all of a sudden, I heard a voice like thunder. Jose! When it called me, my whole body jerked. And I turned around. I said, Sam, John, did you call me? They said, no. I started working again. About 15 minutes later, I start crying again. Why? They saying the same thing. All of a sudden, I hear the voice like thunder. It was louder, but it didn't call. It was calling me from above, though. Not from behind, from above. And all of a sudden, when they called me again, my whole body shook again. Jose! And all of a sudden, I looked around, so I went to the front. And I told Kazi, you called me? He said, no. He said, why? I said, nothing. He said, maybe God called. I said, shut up, man. So I went to my work area. This time I grabbed a pipe. I said, these Christians think I'm a joke. If they call me again, I'm going to bust them outside of here with this pipe. About half hour later, I see this white cloud just cover my body. When it covered my body, all of a sudden, I'm shaking. I'm holding on to the drums, and I'm shaking. And when I felt like electricity going through my body, all of a sudden, I heard the voice the third time. Jose! When I looked, the whole cinder block wall, I see like a big TV screen. I'm standing there looking at it, and I'm seeing my whole life as a little boy, the day when I was 12, crying in that old house because my father was going to whip me and chain me up by my neck and everything. I saw that. I saw all the times I've been stabbed down. I never got shot, never got stabbed, and I did this to a lot of people now. So I've been shot at and everything. I saw why I was never shot. I saw me in juvenile homes. I saw me in government programs. I saw me in prison. I saw me in mental hospital. It showed me my whole childhood, and as it kept showing me my life, all of a sudden I started yelling, who are you? Because I couldn't turn back. Who are you? Who are you? I said, reveal yourself to me. And all of a sudden, something just, like everything just lifted off of me. And I started vomiting. So as I was vomiting, I said, Kazi walked right by the supervisor. He walked by, and he said, Joe, you don't look good. I said, no, I want to go home. I want to go home. Can I go home? He said, go home. So I got home. It was like around 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So when I get there, my mom said, what you doing here? I said, Mom, get up. She said, what's wrong? I said, Mom, something strange happened to me. When I was working, a voice like 3 times called me by my name, showed me my whole entire life. And said, oh, you got cold chills running through my body. And all of a sudden, I said, no. And he showed me my life where I was never shot, stabbed, and killed, and all of this stuff. My mother jumped up real excited. Oh, Joey, it's the spirit of the Indians. It's the spirit of the Indians. I said, what are you talking about? Puerto Ricans, we come from Spaniard descent and Taino Indian descent. If you would have seen my father, he looked like an Indian. You see my brother Philip, he looks like an Indian. Dark skin with jet black hair, and 2 of my sisters. The rest of us came out on the Spaniard side.
Okay.
So, and I'm talking many generations now. When she said, I get out of here, I don't want to hear that stuff about no Indian. I don't believe in that. But she said, anyway, the psychiatrist want to come and see you. Listen, who need to see him? You. All of these Indians you'll be lighting candles to. That's witchcraft. So my little sister came up and gave me a phone. And she said, Joey, somebody wants you on the phone. I grabbed a phone. I said, yeah, what's up? They said, we got Izzy here. What you want us to do with him? You want us to take him out? You know, kill him. I said, no, just hold on. I'll be there.
And who's Izzy?
Izzy was one of my drug dealers, but he was messing up on my drug money.
Okay.
So I already had, he was in the list of the two of my drug dealers, two clients.
The 17 that you were going to take
he
out?
He was on the list.
Okay.
So I told him, no, hold on, I'll take care of it. So when I got there, I got to the corner where he was at. All of a sudden, I came from running from around the corner. He didn't see me, and I grabbed him and spun him around, and I put the gun to his chest. But he was about 5 feet away, and I'm aiming at his chest. I said, "Where's my money?" So he kept saying, "Oh man, I don't have it on me. I got some." He pulled out a whole lot of it, but he still owed a lot. Yeah. So when he pulled out all the money, and I had the gun aiming at him, all of a sudden, somebody pat me on my shoulder. Before that lady pat me, I told her, no, you shot it all up, I'm going to shoot you all up. That's when I felt a hand. Now, I'm thinking it's a cops, because in the past 3 months, police have been pulling up on me, pat me on my shoulder, taking me to the police station, you know, because they knew.
You might not be up to something good.
No, right. Because they already know that I was a big drug dealer.
Yeah.
So what happened was when somebody pat me, I turned around thinking it's a cop. So I stuck the gun real fast in my back. And put my shirt on. I looked up, a little old lady there, white hair, big Bible. And she said, "Here, young man." And she gave me 4 tracks. And I said, "Lady, are you crazy? I mean, you're interfering with me. Interfering this. I'm trying to kill this guy. You're interfering." She didn't listen to me. She said, "Young man, my church is 5 blocks from here. I was praying with the elders in the church. God told me to get up and come to this corner. That there's a young man that he's going to show me. That when I get here, and God, when I got here, God said, you are the young man. God is calling you. It's him that's calling you. Not only that, he said he knows you from your mother's womb. He's the one fighting this battle. He's the one that's been protecting you all your life, man." Now, this lady got me shaking now. All of a sudden, I got angry. Get out of here. I don't want to hear this guy. And I threw all the tracks at her. So she started to run. I went behind her just really scaring her, just to scare her. I wasn't really going to hurt her. My philosophy was, I don't want nobody to do to my family, my mother, my father, something I would not do to theirs.
Yeah.
You understand? That was my faith, my belief. When she started running, I'm yelling, "I hate you, I hate you." This little old lady turned around. She's a little old lady. She was 65 years old. She turned around, and when she turned around, when I got real close, she said, "Jesus love you." When she said that, I flew back. When I flew back about seven, 8 feet. My whole equilibrium and balance was out of balance. I was like going sideways. And when I finally caught myself, I yelled out again, "I hate you, I hate you." She said, "Jesus love you." When she said that, I flew back again, about 7, 8 feet again. And that time I could get my balance. She just turned around and started walking away. When a couple of my drug dealers and one of the girls that was there, who was also one of my drug dealers, she ran up. She said, "What's up with you? What's up with you, Joey? You okay? Leave me alone. Leave me alone." I forgot to kill Izzy. I forgot that I drove my car there. I tell everybody, I make it into a joke. I said, "That's the first old lady that ever beat me up, because she knocked everything out of me with that Jesus name."
Yeah. Evangelist Joey Perez is with us today on the Tim DeMoss Show. He's with Worldwide Evangelistic Ministries. And next week, a big spiritual warfare, easy for me to say, seminar at Franconia Mennonite Church in Telford. It's April 10th, 11th, and 12th, Wednesday through Friday. On Wednesday, saints must be in prayer. On Thursday, who is your adversary? On Thursday, saints have power and authority. JoeyPerezMinistries.org. For more info on all that, we'll keep our chat going in a second.
You're listening to a podcast of The Tim DeMoss Show, heard weekday afternoons 4 till 5 on AM 560 WFIL and at WFIL.com.
It's 4:49, The Tim DeMoss Show. Our guest in studio, evangelist Joey Perez with Worldwide Evangelistic Ministries. Next week, a big spiritual warfare seminar, Franconia Mennonite Church in Telford, April 10th through the 12th. Grab details on that at joeyperezministries.org. It's been quite an hour, all kinds of stuff going on, all kinds of stories being shared. And as we continue on, just pick up from where we were before the break with the little old lady and what happened next.
I go home that day, couldn't sleep. I go to work the next day. When I went to work, they had me classifying clutches for cars. So as I was doing the clutches, all of a sudden, here comes the voice again. They said to me, "Go and kill those people today. Go and kill those people today. God don't love you. God don't love you. God ain't real anyway. When I heard that, all of a sudden, I grabbed the clutches and I threw it against the wall. And I did four of them. When I got through the fifth clutch, I see a man in the air standing there, all dressed in white. His hair was white. He had a band around his head. I could see the band, but I couldn't see his whole face because he was a cloud from his face to his chest. And when I looked up, I threw the clutch on the floor and I'm staring at him. He's 7 feet off the ground. He's about 15 feet away from me. And he pointed and he said, "My son." When he started speaking, my whole body just started shaking again. He said, "My son, I know you from your mother's womb. I've been with you every day of your life. I'm the one fighting this battle for you." So I said, "Man, ain't nobody gonna believe this. I know I'm just seeing things." So I turned around. And I closed my eyes. When I turned around, I looked forward. I said, "He ain't going to be there." When I opened, took my hands from away from my face, he was still there. He said, "My son, I'm the one fighting this battle for you because I'm calling you. I'm going to use you for my honor and for my glory." And all of a sudden, he just disappeared. Kazi came back. I said, I didn't even tell him I was leaving. I just left.
Oh, man.
I just left. I get home that day, tell my mom. Okay, "Mom, guess what? Man, this guy all dressed in white, couldn't see his face, a cloud, everything covered on." And all of a sudden, she said to me, "Oh, Joey, it's the chief of the Indian." I said, "Oh, man, he didn't look like no Indian. What are you talking about?"
"Mom, anyway, you're not being a help here."
And all of a sudden, I said, maybe God is calling me. Maybe Jesus appeared to me. And maybe all these battles here. In the book, if you read the book, that I was having a spiritual battle. I kept seeing the dark shadow that kept popping up, and the man in the white robe keep chasing it. Like Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. All of these things were happening to me, but I still didn't know what it was. To one of the guys who was a client of mine that got saved 6 months earlier, they sent him to work in the warehouse there with me. With the other 25 of us. And when he came yelling down the hallway, right, towards my area. And he kept yelling, "Jose, Jose, Jose." And I turned around. When I kept looking, I said, "Man, something strange about this guy. I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it. Just things you just can't explain."
Yeah.
"But I can show you through all the scriptures. This is real." So what happened was he stopped and said, "God is calling you. You're going to be a good Christian. God's going to use you to bring thousands and thousands of souls of you to his feet because he loved you. He's fighting this battle for you." Man, I'm having a spiritual battle too.
Absolutely.
So when he said that, all of a sudden, man, my whole body's shaking, you know, what he's saying. So I grabbed him and I said, "How do you know what I'm thinking?" He said, "God knows what you're thinking. He's omniscient. He knows what you're thinking." He said, "Look, if you go to this crusade, it's in your neighborhood, right where your drug points are. Look how God works." And 6 in Indiana, in Northfield, it was from Frontin, Indiana to Germantown, all the way from Lehigh to Erie. That was all my territory. Okay, my drug dealers, my gang, and everything. So he said, "And right on 6 in Indiana, Powder Thomas Schoolyard, when he showed me the paper, I said, "I'm over here with all these problems. You invited me to a discotheque?" He said, "No, you see that girl? Her name is Naomi Avila. Her father's a well-known preacher in Puerto Rico, and God is using this girl healing and deliverance and everything. She's been here already 2 days. If you go to this crusade, you're going to receive God." I said, "Look, I've been to 3 spiritualists. They couldn't help me. I went into a Catholic church. I went because of my girlfriend, and nothing happened. I'm still the same." He said, "You go to this crusade, you're going to receive God." I said, "If I go to that crusade and don't receive God, don't come here tomorrow." Why? June 7th was the next day. I said, "Because I'm going to come back and I'm going to kill all y'all Christians. I'll probably accomplish it all when I'm done." And I said, "I'm going to shoot it out with the police. Let them kill me." When I was thinking this, I break out and started crying. And I said, "I'm going to go." I went home that day, took a shower, changed my clothes. Now, back then, I had an afro, mustache, earrings in my ears, and everything. When I was all dressed up to go to that crusade on 6 in Indiana, in North Philly, Potter Thomas Schoolyard, I didn't know it was going to be a lot of people there. When I got there, before I left, I was ready to walk out. I went back in my room, pulled the window down, the top window, pulled it down, and pulled my hand out the window, looked at this guy, said, "God, if you are real, I'm going to go to that crusade. I want you to say that. I don't care how you say it. There's a man with a blessing from the Lord, and that man's name is Jose. If you say that, no rain, no snow, no fire, no devil, no demon, nothing going to stop me. I'm going to receive you." I didn't believe in nothing. Bible said, "Call on me, I will answer you. I will speak unsearchable things that you yourself do not know. He who comes in the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, guess what? I didn't know that. All I know, when I came down, my mom looked at me and said, "Where you go? I'm going to get saved today." She said, "What? Listen, a psychiatrist is going to come. Listen, you deal with him." So then I got to the crusade. I walked in there now. It's 3,000, maybe 4,000 people. I mean, that place was packed. And all of a sudden, when I'm walking, right, I got my coat in my hand and my umbrella, because it rained a little bit earlier that day. So just in case it rained again, you know, I had my umbrella ready, and I walked all the way to the front. I don't never say, "Excuse me," I just move out the way. So I was telling people, "Move out the way."
Yeah.
Yo, move, man. And move out. When I got to the front, I stood there. All of a sudden, I hear the voices again. "You've been here 15 minutes. God hasn't called you yet. Go and kill those people today." So I got mad and I cursed and I said, "God ain't real." People started looking at me. "What are y'all looking at? Keep looking at her." When I started walking away from that crusade, I got 400 feet to get to the gate to get out of the schoolyard, the parking lot of the school, the teacher school cars. When I was ready to get out, that girl was preaching stopped. She stopped completely. This girl was only 25 years old. She stopped and said, "Hey, you young man, you just walking away, hold it." When she said that, I stopped. Just like that. And I said to myself, "Who's she talking to me?" Because I looked to the right, to the left, and to the right, and see nobody else going out, leaving. And I said, "Who's she talking to me?" She said, "Yeah, you." I only said that in my mind. She said, "Yeah, you." She said, "Tonight, God has revealed to me that there's a young man here with a blessing from the Lord. And God's going to use that young man for his honor and his glory. God, thousands will be saved. And that young man's name is Jose." When she said that, I turned around. Whoa. When I turned around, I was like, "Whoa." She said, "Young man, you said if God called you by your name, no rain, no snow, no fire, no devil, no demons going to stop you." When she said that, I said, "Hold up. Now I know it's God, but I'm battling." You know why I'm battling, right? Too much money, too much drug. You know, if I get saved, I got too many enemies. I can't carry my gun no more. And all of a sudden, I break out and I start crying. I started running. I'm crying and I'm running and I'm yelling, "God, here I come." And when I was yelling, people were just moving out of the way. I tell everybody, like the Red Sea just was opening. When I got to the front, my whole body shaking, like I could feel like all the people inside of me. And all of a sudden, I lift up my hand. And I started screaming, "God, I am a sinner. I shed that blood. I do whatever you want." And everybody's just looking at me. There wasn't even an altar call at that time. And I'm yelling, "I shed that blood. I did a lot of it there. I do whatever you want." When I said that, I felt electricity going through both of my arms. It started going down through my body. When as it hit my toes, I see something like a shadow, like a wind, a dark cloud just shot out of my body. When it shot out, all of a sudden, the girl that was preaching, she touched me. When she touched me, all I knew, I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, everything. I left out of that crusade singing. 90 days, I started going to a Pentecostal church, Assembly of God. In that church, in 90 days, I had 60 families, a total of over 124 people, family members and everything, going through that church. That church sent me to Bible college. They sent me to Puerto Rico. I don't know how to talk Spanish, write Spanish, speak Spanish. And I went there for 3 years and learned Spanish. And I traveled all over the island, preaching and all over the United States.
How old were you at that time?
I was 22.
Wow. Wow. Evangelist Joey Perez on the Tim DeMoss Show today. You may have seen him on the 700 Club. He was a gang leader of the 250-member Midtown Zulu Nation gang and a drug dealer. Lord got a hold of him about 45 years ago, and he's gone on to be an author of 4 books, including I Live to Tell About It, which you can get in English and Spanish, Mysteries of Angels, Poetry from the Heart, and a children's book, too, and speaks in prisons. And next week, the Spiritual Warfare Seminar at Franconia Mennonite Church, 613 Harleysville Pike in Telford, PA, Wednesday the 10th, Saints Must Be in Prayer, Thursday the 11th, Who is Your Adversary, Friday the 12th, Saints Have Power and Authority. You can grab more info at joeyperezministries.org. That's joeyperezministries.org, 215-520-1204 for more info, 215-520-1204. We are just flat out of time. We have to continue this conversation. We'll do that tomorrow as part of our famous Friday show. If you missed it, also, we hit the goal in our partnership with Save the Children. Praise the Lord for that. Thanks to all who prayed and all who gave. Glory to God, and may much good come from it. In the meantime, we're going to wrap things up and pass things over to Alistair Begg and Truth for Life. WFIL, thank you for listening in. Have a wonderful evening.
Thanks for listening to the Tim DeMoss Show podcast. Feel free to tune in to the full show each weekday afternoon from 4 till 5 on AM 560 WFIL and at WFIL.com.